Hello, Radio St. Pete friend. I am here with Historically St. Pete podcast host and executive director at the St. Petersburg Museum of History. Welcome, Rui. How are you?
Great. How are you doing today?
Well, I am celebrating International Women's Day and listening to all my favorite historical musical artists. I know that you have a special woman with you on this broadcast to celebrate Women's History Month. Let's make some introductions.
I do. I want to introduce Jessie Breckenridge. Jessie is our archives and collections manager here at the Museum of History, but she's also becoming a famous exhibit designer. We have this really cool exhibit called Meddling, the Women Who Built St. Petersburg, and Jessie pretty much did all the research and came up with the design and created this amazing exhibit that we have.
So before we launch into the exhibit, and I consider myself a meddling woman for inviting myself to your podcast, Rui. Rui, who on International Women's Day do you want to celebrate in your own personal life?
Oh, in my personal life?
Yes.
Well, my personal life has got to be my mom, of course. It has to be my mom. I mean, here's a woman who immigrated to the United States at a young age of 19, not being able to read or write English, and created a life for herself and her family and raised me and my brother. And she's way stronger than I would ever be in my lifetime.
And Jessie, can you share with us who you might be celebrating during Women's History Month and on International Women's Day?
Oh, I mean, answering with my mom seems to be, if I make another move, that seems like perhaps not the right one. But I would love to celebrate my own mother. I mean, she raised me as a single mom for a majority of my childhood, and, you know, is still such a wonderful influence in my life today.
Now, if we talk about non-moms.
Yeah, so let's head right into women in St. Pete that we should be celebrating to Women's History Month and some about the Meddling Women exhibit. Go ahead, folks.
Well, Jessie's going to talk most about this, but I mean, there are so many women that really did create our city. And looking at the history of that she created in that exhibit, Mary Wheeler Eaton is my woman. She is the woman who created or started the St. Petersburg Historical Society, and then did a lot of meddling in her lifetime, and basically forced the mayor and city council to give us this amazing place where we still are today as a museum of history 103 years later. So she gets my vote.
So, Jessie, tell us a little bit about this exhibit and the women that are in this exhibit, Never to be Forgotten.
So the exhibit features, we've got 30 women on the walls and an additional 30 plus on the rotating television. Because we just couldn't, we didn't want to cut it off. You know, there are so many women significant to St. Pete's history that have, you know, both intentionally and unintentionally have been overlooked through time, who are just integral to the creation of our great city. And, you know, that's all the way from the very beginning of our initial settling of the Pinellas Peninsula all the way up into the modern day.
So let's just name the names, and our listeners can celebrate all month with women were really instrumental in St. Pete, and that's what one of the things. I know there was a woman in Wyoming we talked about today on Lunchtime Conversations. She was the first suffragette. She actually had her statue up for 60 years, and now is in a basement somewhere in Wyoming. So we don't want any of these women to be forgotten, right, Rui?
Absolutely. I mean, and I'm going to let Jessie talk about her favorite one, who she keeps telling me, you know, General John Constantine Williams is considered as the founder of St. Petersburg. And she keeps pushing that his wife, Sarah, should be the founder of St. Pete. But I'm going to let her explain that. But there we made a bet, Jessie and I, a couple of years ago during Women's History Month. And she wanted to post something on our social media every day. And of course, me being, you know, the old former soccer coach who figured out how to get people to do things, bet her that there's no way she could find 30 women important enough, right, that built our city. So That's all I had to say. She just dove in from that period and found way more than 30 women. And that's how this exhibit became created. But I'm going to let her talk about that special woman.
Go ahead, Jesse. Tell us all about her.
But my argument has always been, what makes a founder? What do we consider, where do we draw the line? What are the criteria there? Because the story of the founding of St. Petersburg has talked for a long time about John C. Williams, who is the landowner who made the deal with Peter de Menz, who is considered another founder of St. Petersburg. Basically, John Williams had the land, Peter de Menz had the railroad, they made a deal, the rest is history. Except when you look into the nitty-gritty of that story, the deal that was struck, when it was struck, the person that is frequently credited with the negotiations is John Williams' wife, Sarah Williams, later to become Sarah Williams Armistead. And when you look into her life, she had this incredibly complicated, interesting life that just has not been talked about in history books. You'll get frequent mentions of John Williams anywhere you look in the history of St. Pete. But John Williams, I mean, she outlived him by over a decade. And she would go on to marry another mayor of St. Pete and donate thousands of dollars of money as well as hundreds of acres of land and contribute to city works and things like that. And after a point, as I argue, at what point do we consider her a founder as well?
I love that. And, you know, this, what year are we talking about? Let's give this some context, Jesse.
Well, the founding of St. Pete, the year that we always attribute to that is our original platting in 1888. And John Williams was particularly active until his death in 1894. And she was active until her death in 1917.
So, really, I want to ask you about the suffragette movement here in St. Petersburg. Is that something we can talk about?
That's something that Jesse's going to talk about because it actually, you know, we were involved in helping commemorate it here. And I learned a lot about that. I didn't realize that, I taught American history for a million years, right? And you never hear about that here in Florida. I didn't realize how big it was in Florida. So I'm going to let Jesse talk about our friend Miss Tibbetts, who helped do all of that here.
Yes, I'd love to hear that, Jesse. Tell us everything.
I'm by no means an expert in women's suffrage history in particular, but I do know that a lot of the early conversations surrounding suffrage in Florida began in Tampa. Emma Chamberlain started an organization in Tampa that really started to take off the discussion of suffrage in Florida. And when it came to St. Pete, we started having public discussions on women's suffrage starting as early as 1912 with the Women's Club of St. Petersburg. They had a special branch of or committee on in the Women's Club of St. Petersburg that spoke directly about suffrage, and they would have regular talks on it. And this led to the formation of the Equal Suffrage League of St. Petersburg, a branch of a more regional organization. And they passed women's suffrage in municipal elections in St. Petersburg in 1919, a full year before women's suffrage was granted federally.
That's amazing.
So, just to correct me if I'm wrong, but women were able to vote here, right?
Yes.
Prior to women in other parts of the country.
Yes, and a lot of that has to do with the efforts of the Equal Suffrage League, and later that would disband, and eventually suffrage efforts in other formats would become the League of Women Voters, which is still around today. But the efforts of the Equal Suffrage League led to one of the first, if not the first, so women's suffrage marches in Florida, which took place in 1918.
Unbelievable. So, you know, it's just to me amazing that women couldn't vote. It's amazing to me that African Americans couldn't vote. We just can't get this through our minds. I want to touch base with you on some of the other people in this Meddling Women exhibit at the St. Petersburg Museum of History. Those of you who are just joining, Rui and Jesse and I, we are honoring Women's History Month, and the St. Petersburg Museum of History actually has a special exhibit there. Go ahead and tell us about the exhibit and some of the other people in it.
So the exhibit is basically a who's who of women's history in St. Pete. It's by no means an exhaustive list of famous historic women, famous and forgotten historic women in St. Pete that were integral to the development of the city. But there's approximately 60 women discussed in the exhibit in a number of arenas.
Can you tell us? Go ahead, Rui.
I was just saying, even like looking at politicians, one of the things that I found astounding was the time in between women being elected to city council. I'll let Jesse talk a little bit more about that. But from the first woman elected to the next one was decades, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, because women won the right to vote in local elections in 1919, which led to the election of our first woman city commissioner, later to be city council, in 1920, Virginia Burnside. And while she was widely regarded as a very successful, effective, and she had a positive I suppose rating from the people of St. Pete. We didn't get another woman city council member until the 1950s, and we didn't get a black woman city council member until the 1960s. And that would
That's
be Cbet Wimbish.
Amazing. And who was that again, Jesse?
Cbet Wimbish.
And now today, Gina Driscoll, and it just seems like second nature that women and men are on equal footing when it comes to making decisions in this city. Tell us about a couple other of the people that we will see in this exhibit before we sign off today.
So we've organized the exhibit there into different sections. We've got some of our pioneering women, and that'll include Sarah Williams Armistead, as well as people like Anna Donaldson, who was one of the first permanent black settlers in Pinellas County. Then we have our civic leaders section, and that'll include people like Mary Wheeler Eaton, our founder here at the museum, but also people like Eve Alsman Fuller, who was the head of in charge of the WPA Florida Art Project, but was also local to St. Pete. And we have what women were up to during wartime, both World War I and World War II, and the contributions that they made there, as well as other political activists, people who are involved in city planning, the contributions of women's clubs, like the Women's Town Improvement Association, our earliest women's club, or the City Federation of Colored Women's Clubs.
Well, you know, when you look at Kanika Tomlin, Allison Barlow, Terry Marks, and some of the other women, in addition to those elected, you got a pretty powerful group of women who are making history now, really.
We do, and we do have a section of our current women leaders of our city, and those ladies you just named are included. All of them are included. They could be either on screen or on the wall. And you mentioned city council. I think it was the previous election, and for the first time, there were more women council members than men in the history of St. Petersburg on council at one time. So not just government, but when you look at business, right, when you look at the industries that are moving here and some of the leaders, whether it's in education or in, you know, the business world, there's a lot more women making history here right now than there ever has been.
So thank you so much, Rui and Jesse, for talking about this during Women's History Month. Rui, will you touch on some of the events that are coming up, the trolley tours? I think you've got a baseball tour coming up.
Oh, sure. So we do monthly trolley tours. We got one coming up that is baseball-oriented, so it takes you through the history of baseball in St. Petersburg, which is pretty vast. We also do a civil rights trolley tour. These are all done monthly. Of course, a historic trolley tour of the downtown area and one of the west side of St. Pete. So every weekend, every Saturday, there's a trolley tour as well as a historic boat tour that we do at Tampa Bay Watch.
And what is your next happy hour with a historian?
So it's actually Babe in the Berg. It's a story of Babe Ruth's time here in St. Petersburg when he was here with the Yankees and the Braves. And then, of course, after he retired from baseball, when he continued to visit St. Petersburg before his death.
Well, I want to thank you both for being here. And those of you who are tuning in, make sure you get a Tampa Bay newspaper. Rui is featured on the cover, both as the executive director for the St. Petersburg Museum of History, but also for his, not an encore chapter, but a previous chapter as the PR person for the Rowdies with his, of course, collectibles, Rui, right? 50 years of the Rowdies.
Oh, it seems like a lifetime ago, actually, when I was just talking to somebody about that when I first, you know, I was a 21-year-old little kid who thought I knew things and I didn't know Jack, it seems like. But anyway, when I got hired by the Rowdies as their PR marketing person, it was quite an experience to be part of that organization. I can't believe they're turning 50. That just makes me really old.
Yes, 29 again. So for historically, yes. St. Pete, I want you all to join us every Monday at noon, at the noon hour at Lunchtime Conversations, RadioSt.Pete.com. And Rui, thank you so much. Jesse, thank you so much. We'll see you with another Historically St. Pete next Monday.
Take care. Thank you.